Welcome to Share Talk with your host, Pastor Teresa. You are tuned in to a show that will inspire you and empower you to move you from your past and help you grab hold to your God-given future. Using biblical, practical, and life experience, Pastor Teresa, along with her special guests, will be teaching women of all ages that the hardship of life don't have to make you bitter, but better as you share, talk, and grow. Now for the next 60 minutes, we invite you to the show. Here's your host.
Callers, this is Pastor Teresa, and I am so happy to have you on Share Talk. And we're here today to share some powerful information with you today with my co-host, Evangelist Houston. And we truly believe that we have some awesome things for you today. I do apologize for the technical issues, but however, God made it a way, and we on the air. Evangelist Houston, are you there with me?
Yes, I am. Good evening, Pastor Teresa. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. We had a little technical issues, but we back on. I don't know what happened, but we're here on Share Talk, and as we understand, the hardship of life don't have to leave you bitter, but better as we share, talk, and grow. Today, we have an exciting topic for you today, and it was inspired by one of our callers, one of our viewers that always view. And she always have questions, and she always have comments, and good things, stuff like that. So she had this question, and I was like, wow, I think this is going to be a great topic on tonight. It's a challenging topic, but it's going to be a great topic. I truly believe if you, the viewers that's viewing in on Twitter and Facebook and those who are calling in, I truly believe if you open your hearts, open your minds, open your spirit to hear what thus said the Lord, I truly believe that you're going to be better for it as a single Christian woman. We're not talking to a worldly woman. We're not talking about worldly women. We're talking about Christian women in today's society. How do we deal with the single life? I'm married. We already established that. We know Evangelist Houston. She is a single woman. She's been single for some years. So today we're going to have some dialogue time. Amen? So Evangelist Houston, our topic tonight is why not live together first to make sure he is the right one. When you got that topic, what was you thinking, child?
Woo!
You know I'm
you know what? You know what I said? My first thought. Now this is a trick of the enemy. That was my first thought. This is a trick of the enemy right here.
Wow.
To try and cause God's daughters to fall, daughters of Zion. And that's number one. Number two, you would be selling yourself short and cheap.
Absolutely.
You
Absolutely.
Are a diamond. You are a ruby. You are a jewel. And you got to trust God enough to know that he knows how to bring that gentleman into your life without you compromising. See, that's another way the enemy would slip in to try and make us single women think you're missing something. You need to do it
Absolutely.
This way. And then you'll be
Absolutely.
Able to get him into your clutches. No, you won't.
I totally agree.
No, you won't. So when I first heard this topic, I said, "Live together. That's cohabiting," and we know what the word says about that in Hebrews 13:4. It says that marriage is honorable unto God, but the bed is undefiled, and that
Absolutely.
All the whoremongers and adulterers will be judged by God.
Amen. Amen.
And I know
Amen.
I can hear somebody saying in the background, well, we're just talking about living. We ain't talking about sex. Don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself.
Absolutely. Don't go too far, Evangelist. Don't go too far, Evangelist, because that's going to be a part of our discussion questions. And you're absolutely right. But let's talk about, let's dialogue about why why you think, and I'm going to chime in on that topic, but why do you think it seems to be a pressure for women to try to, you know, or to accept that concept, let's live together mm-hmm. first, and let me see how we're going to work together, let's see how we're mm-hmm. going to, you know, get along, and then we'll make that commitment to go to the next mm-hmm. level when it comes down to marriage. Why do you think that's, especially in this day and time, because as you know, mm-hmm. marriage is not the thing now no more. I mean, people get married and get divorced within the next 5-6 months. Marriage don't have mm-hmm. its sacred like it used to be, where we honor marriage. Now the world has this concept. Now they got same-sex marriage, and now they got threesome marriage now. Now you're able to marry mm-hmm. two people at the same time. One person can have two wives. One person can have, I'm talking about, it's still in homosexuality. I just saw a couple months ago where a woman yes. married two women.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, yes. we go from same-sex marriage, and now we got, in the same-sex marriage, we have women and men are getting married to two people of the same sex. So, you know, it's getting more mm-hmm. perverted as we go, because once, a lot of people don't understand, once you open the door for one thing, it actually mm-hmm. brings so much with it. And that is the reason why we got to be careful for what we vote for and what we entertain and what we accept
right.
as Christians, because we don't understand in
right.
the spirit realm. And I tell my people this, I say, what you see in the physical is because what's going on in the spirit
yes.
realm. What we see in
yes.
the physical realm, it's a result mm-hmm. of what's going on in the spiritual realm. So in the
mm-hmm.
spiritual realm, if we're warfaring with the spirit of perversion, it's the indicator
right.
what's going on. And so now we see that in the physical realm, because in the spiritual realm, we got a war going on. And so we, as
yes.
the body of Christ, if we continue accepting this, and I'm not saying we don't love them. We're supposed to love, we got to love people. That's what I'm not talking about that. And that's what
yes.
people get confused.
Right.
And we talk about judging. You understand? No, I'm not judging. I'm a fruit inspector. That's what I am. I don't know about you, but I'm a fruit
that's
inspector.
It. That's
I don't
it.
Judge
that's
people,
it.
But I'm a fruit inspector.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm a Christian and I say that I believe in the word of God and I believe in
mm-hmm.
the power of God, there's some things that I can't tolerate, and there's some things I can't entertain. So I don't want to go on the binges
mm-hmm.
on that. But my point
mm-hmm.
is, Evangelist, is this.
Uh-huh.
Why is so much pressure for
mm-hmm.
today's society, today's women, especially Christian women, because that's what we're talking
mm-hmm.
about, that they feel the pressure
mm-hmm.
to live together first
mm-hmm.
before they get married? Why do you think they feel so pressured?
I think some of the relationships that they are encountering, for number one, with their
mm-hmm.
so-called friends, some of them are doing it, and they see it is successful. That's
mm-hmm.
what they see with their eyes. But you don't know what goes on behind closed doors. And,
right.
Or they think it's successful. Then here's another thing. Well, my mama did it, and it turned out fine, and she's been married for 20 plus 30 years, and it seemed to be okay. That's number two.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, it could be a way of the gentleman's pressure of saying, I'm going to leave if you don't do this, if we don't do that, because it doesn't make sense for us to be in separate households, and you're constantly here and I'm constantly there. So this woman, she compromises and she settles because she don't want to be alone instead of taking that stance. And then you got, again, looking out from a distance from somebody else, and they saying, well, it'll be okay because such and such did it, and I was in her wedding, and they're still
mm-hmm.
together right now today. So you got all this going on, but then they don't apply the word of God in the midst, because you're looking on the outside on what's going on around you and not what's really going on internally, and seeking the Lord and the word of God to see, is this right for me?
Right.
You know, no,
right.
And you get caught up in their emotions. You know, we get
uh-huh.
emotionally and mentally attached to a thing. And then he comes with all the promises of, I can do this, we can do this, we can have this, we can do that. And it sounds good, it looks good, it feels good, but is it really good for you? Absolutely. In today's society, the cohabitation has been going on. We know back then we called it shacking. You know,
uh-huh.
It's been going on for years. And so some mm-hmm. people, granted, that they were successful with it, but believer, you don't want to tread those grounds because, number one, God's covenant is going to break up off of you with that. You're not going to have the blessings of God flowing in your life. You will have blessings flowing in one angle and curses flowing in another angle. And you don't want to be feeling like, okay, I have compromised myself. Now I cannot sense the presence of God on my life anymore. So it's best
Absolutely.
For you to stay where you are and not get caught up with what you see, what's going on in the world today, what's going on in our dysfunctional society. You know, we get so mm-hmm. caught up with that. But that's why we got to pray and let our spiritual mind take over these natural thoughts. These natural
mm-hmm.
thoughts we have. And we think it's a good way to get a father for our children because the natural father is not doing what he was supposed to. This man is willing to come in and do the father role because he's doing it now. He's paying my bills now. And so all that looks good to the women. And all that
mm-hmm.
feel good to them because this is what I really want in a husband, and he's everything I want. But then once you make that commitment to that, who's to say it's going to be successful?
Right, right.
Who's to say
and the thing about that is
it's going to turn out like mama.
Absolutely. And the thing about that too, sis, is I believe that that's one of the main problems that we're having in the body of Christ, that the Christian
mm-hmm.
single Christian women are looking
mm-hmm.
to the world, how the world do things, and
mm-hmm.
oh, that's, okay, I hear you in the spirit. Well, no, I got some friends that are Christians. They go to church. They
mm-hmm.
they know God.
Mm-hmm.
They love God. They're this, they're that in the body of Christ,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
they're doing the same thing. They become successful. But the question is what successful looks like, though? I mean, what's your definition of successful? And what do you measure that by? If you measure it by the world standards, yeah, it may look successful. But if you measure it by the word of God, I'm sorry,
mm-hmm.
it's not successful.
Come on.
But the problem is,
Amen.
And a lot of them probably, the ladies on the line, you may say, well, you know, you're not in my shoes. Well, I once was in your
mm-hmm.
shoes. And I understand the pressure. I understand that especially when you had bad relationships or you've seen bad relationships and you're like, well, what's the 100%? We're going to get to that question. How do you know 100% is that the one? How do you know 100%
mm-hmm.
is that person for you or for me? How do I know
mm-hmm.
that? Well, we
mm-hmm.
got some answer for you today. But the question
mm-hmm.
we got on the board right now is, why is there so much pressure? Why so much pressure on the Christian women and they feel like they're pressured to live together with their boyfriend first before
mm-hmm.
I say I do? Now, I have met
mm-hmm.
a couple women. That
right.
that suggestion is not made by the man. It is made by the woman. But when I do my
yeah.
assessment of that woman, I find out, Evangelist, that the reason
uh-huh.
why that woman made that decision is because of what she sees or because of what
uh-huh.
she experienced. Well, I've been
mm-hmm.
married before, and if I would have known X, Y, and Z before I met him, before I said I do,
mm-hmm.
I would never got married.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
there's still, and I hate to go ahead of myself, being shacking, living together, is not going to
mm-hmm.
guarantee you going to know if that's the person is the one. That is not the
exactly.
guarantee. I don't care
exactly.
what you see.
That's
I'm
the wake up
call.
Right.
There is no guarantee that because you person for 5 to 10 years, that, you know, this is going to be the one. Because if you live that long, you should. Okay, that's a whole other subject by itself. Because, I'm sorry. Okay.
Don't go there.
I'm serious. Girl, I'm like,
that's another topic.
Absolutely. You're not going to try me out and then put me on the side and say, and then go down the street and marry Susie. Or vice versa.
Thank
because
you.
Now these women, we got some cruel women these days. I truly believe, you know, this the different things that women have encountered with men and
mm-hmm.
in life. We have became very hard, and so we the
mm-hmm.
player from the Himalaya. We are the player from the Himalaya. It's not the, you know,
mm-hmm.
the men, they think they playing, but women playing the men. And that's real talk. I see some women. I'm like, wow, they plan him to the T, and he don't even know it. That's the sad part. But that's not our topic tonight. But tonight we're talking about why not live together first to make sure he's the right one. So we're going to go ahead and go into our discussion questions. So we already established, evangelists have already established one of the main reasons, she actually named several reasons why the pressure is on Christian women to feel comfortable to accept the concept of living together before marriage. And so the first question that we have on the discussion board is this: what if we sleep in separate rooms? What if we sleep in separate rooms? So if, and basically this question is saying, is okay, we're going to live together, but we're going to sleep in separate rooms. Is that a problem?
Is that a problem? That is a problem. You know what? We tend to say, I'm good. I'm strong. No. You got to be to thy own self, be true.
Right.
You know your weakness, and you know your strength. And someone in another room who you attracted to, talking about my boyfriend, and we sleeping in separate beds, how long you think that's going to last? You got to be truthful to yourself. Don't set yourself up for bait. And the word says, don't let thy good be evil spoken of. Because
absolutely.
What if someone come over there who you've been mentoring, and they've been looking up to you, and you've been imparting into them, and they see this gentleman come out of this room in his boxers, what are they going to think about you? So, let your good be evil spoken of. So you got to count up the cost, beloved. You got to say, okay, this is not going to look right, even if you have kids. This is not going to look right in my children's eyes. I don't care if he is in another room. My mom, God, myself, you know, count up the cost, because you're not that strong for him to be sleeping over in another room a couple of seats away from your room, okay? So be honest with yourself in that and tell him, this is not a good idea. Now, if you had a roommate that you were trying to get your rent paid for 6 months and get something accomplished, that's totally different. And even if it's a male, you still have to examine that yourself, because there might be kids involved. So don't go there with someone you know you're attracted to physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, all those things. Don't put yourself in that type of arena, because in the end, you will regret it. You'll say shoulda, coulda, woulda, when you need to really think the process through right now and not think that you got to deviate from the word of God, not think that you got to compromise yourself and let your standards down, because you are fearfully and wonderfully made of the Lord. You are a daughter of the Most High God. So you don't have to go to those different avenues like the ways of the world. You don't have to do that. Stay in your lane, stay in your place, and I guarantee you God will send you your heart's desire. And if you occupy yourself in the kingdom, you will not have time to be thinking stuff like this, to say, well, what if we sleep in another room? Well, what if we do this? You sound like you're going to desperate measures to get him into the home and wanting someone with a spiritual eye to validate it. But you already know the answers to all of this.
Right. But you know what, sis, along with this, a couple of things I want to say about that. One, first, you named it well when you said you was quoting on Romans 14:16-19. It said, let not doubt your good be even spoken of. But First Thessalonians says this. First Thessalonians 5:22 says this: abstain from all appearance of evil.
Yes.
So in other words, there's some things that you have no control of what people are going to say. There's some things you have no control over. But there's something when you actually give them something to talk about. And like she said, you could be a mentor. Regardless if you want to or not, somebody is being blessed
mm-hmm.
or being hurt
mm-hmm.
by what you do and what you say. You are
mm-hmm.
an example to somebody else. And keep in mind, if we say we're Christian, Christ-like, okay, so
come
that's
on.
Not something Christ would want us to do, especially if the word tells us not. The other thing is this, like the woman of God stated, you know, you're putting yourself in a position to be tempted. I think
mm-hmm.
makes me think about when Jesus the Bible says Satan had led Jesus into the wilderness, and he was fasting 40 days and 40 nights, and then he also
mm-hmm.
after that he was tempted, and he told Jesus when he was on the mountaintop, he told him, he said, "Fall and catch yourself, you Jesus." I'm paraphrasing here.
Mm-hmm.
You're Jesus. You
mm-hmm.
can catch yourself. And what did Jesus say? Why thou should tempt the Lord thy God.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, why not put yourself
yes.
in a place
yes.
that you got to resist it? Because you may resist it that first night. You may resist it for a
mm-hmm.
month, but it's coming.
Uh-huh.
I want to share a testimony about this, and it's a little bit far-fetched. It's still in the line. It's still in the same line of this. But I was working for, when I was in the community, I used to travel all the time. And while I was in
mm-hmm.
Jacksonville, after I went past a certain part, this is when I was single, a pass in my life, I got over certain things. It was hard for me. I thought I'd never stop. I didn't think I'd never stop having sex. Oh, my God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then when I got past the first 30 days, the 60 days, the 2 months, the 5 months, and stuff like that, I thought I had that thing down packed, baby. I was good. I don't care who I saw, what cologne I smelled, what they said. I was good. Baby girl was good. Well, I had to go out of town, and my supervisor at the time, I need you to catch this. My supervisor now in Jacksonville, he was not attracted to me. I was not attracted to him, not one bit. Oh, my God. He looked like, I'm being honest, can I be real? He looked like tote to me. He didn't look like nothing to be dealt with. So I'm thinking, I said, okay, I was traveling to San Diego. And when I tell you, evangelist, oh, man, when I tell you this man was not, I didn't find this man not attractive at all. Let me show you how the enemy works. I'm saying this because when she said, even if you're doing a roommate, if you have a roommate, it's the opposite sex. You got to be careful with that, too, because you may don't start off being attracted to that person, but when you talk about two individuals coming together and they're living together under the same roof, there's a possibility that attraction will start. Let me tell you what happened to me.
Yes.
So like I said, I go out of town with this whole team. It's a team of 17 people, including my supervisor. I was not attracted to my supervisor. You know, he hit on me every now and then, but I was not attracted to him. He didn't have enough money for me, so I couldn't be attracted to that. So anyway, that's a whole other story, whole other show. So when I get to San Diego, it's the second day. They was playing cards. Now, I'm a Christian, and everybody know I was a minister. And so they was over in the corner playing their little cards. I was over there reading my Bible, reading my word, still sticking with the values of God. And I just knew God was reigning on the throne. Well, they got into a conversation at the table about a certain activity, sexual activity. Now, as you already know, I'm transparent. I was very addicted to oral sex. So if you had to do that to me, you had to. So make a long story short, they was talking about that.
Hello. Network issues. Don't hear her.
I'm so sorry, callers. I don't know what happened. We was just off the air just for a quick second, but we are back on. I think the enemy did not want me to say what I had to say, and I didn't want to get that testimony out. I do apologize for that, but I remember exactly where I was. As I was stating that, you know, what my addiction was, and they was over there talking, just gagging about what and bragging about what they can do. Unfortunate, because of my issue, bypass issue, and I just knew I was strong enough, and I entertained it, we ended up making plans. My supervisor, while I was reading the word, I got tempted. Because the temptation, because the enemy knew what to tempt me with. Now, keep in mind, when I was in Jacksonville, I heard all kinds of stuff, but I was out of my element. I was out of my safety net. You know, I had my...
We keep getting issues. Call your sister. Call her back.
Callers, it's me again. I do apologize. I don't know what's going on. I truly believe the enemy is really trying to keep me not saying this testimony for real. But I'm going to go ahead and try to get through it. Evangelist, if I get knocked off, they can hear you well. You still linked in. So if you don't hear me again, you just continue on with the show, okay? Because for some reason,
I couldn't hear anything. Could you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, but you can't hear me because my connection is the one getting lost, but you're still on the line. But, ladies, let me go ahead and get through this before we get knocked off again. But needless to say, I failed. I didn't fail all the way, but I failed to enough that I really allowed the enemy to play with my mind, play with the testimony that I had, that I don't walk always 8 months without doing anything, and I'm about to lose it. But let me tell you what the power of God will do for you when you are actually seeking the face of God. Although we had made arrangements, leave that hotel to go to another hotel because I'm his employee and he's my supervisor, so we didn't supposed to have no type of relationship. But Mary was burning. It was burning because I don't heard all these bragging about what you can do. I wanted to see. Well, make a long story short, we made those arrangements, and I never forget this like it was yesterday. We was going to another hotel closer to the airport in San Diego, and I had to use the restroom. Let me show you what the power of God would do. I had to use the restroom. I used the restroom, and I was washing my hands, and I heard the Lord say, "I still love you." And I was like, and I was on my way to do what I need to take care of. I wanted to take care of Mary. That's what I wanted to do. But while I was washing my hands, I heard the Lord say, "I still love you." And when I heard that, I came to myself, and God gave me a door of escape, and I took it. Now, can I be real with you? I took that door escape, but there was another issue happened after that, not with him, but with something totally different, but I didn't take the door of escape. But that was a door of escape for me, and I took it. So while I'm sharing this with you, you got to be very, very careful. We're talking about why should we not live together, why singles should not live together, even if you're thinking about marrying this person. It's because you're opening yourself to temptation. You're opening yourself up to be tempted, and there's going to be days you're going to win, but there will be a day that you won't win. So don't put yourself in that situation. You can't put yourself in that situation. That's the whole moral of that story, that testimony I wanted to share with you. I took the door of escape, but what if I did not take the door of escape for that time? I don't know what I would have got myself into. And I don't know what. And then I do know this. I found years later, I found out he had HIV.
Yeah. Thank you, God.
I was tempted to do something, but because God gave me a door of escape, and the only thing he said was, "I love you." That's all I needed. That was my door of escape. And now it was my choice to take the door. God did not make me, but I made myself. I said, this is my door of escape. Let me get out of this. I went out that door. I said, I can't do this. Do you not know? That man don't know. I promise you, this is no lie. This is a testimony. I promise you. That when I walked out the door, he was waiting for me. He didn't remember why he was there. It's crazy. I promise to God. He didn't remember the reason why we was there. So God covered me all the way around. So from that day to this, and I run into him a lot because he's a community director, and I run into him a lot. He don't remember it, but I do. But he don't remember that, and I thank God for that. So what we're saying, even if you're sleeping in separate rooms, it's still not right. The woman of God just quoted Romans 14: Let not your good be even spoken of. And I just quoted to you on 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from all the appearance of evil. The next question is, do you trust God for your future? That's the question. We're talking about why should we not live together to ensure if he's the right one. Do you trust God for your future? Evangeline, what do you have to say anything about that? Do you trust God for your future?
Yes. You got to trust in God. This journey, this faith walk that you own, it's all about trusting and resting in the Lord. The word says for us to acknowledge him in all our ways, and he will direct our path. And if we commit our thoughts unto him, they shall be established. And if we just trust in him, he will give you the desires of your heart. So you got to trust and believe God that he knows what he's doing. And when I love the way that you just told that testimony, Pastor Teresa, because just like the Word of God says that there is no temptation or trial that can come to us that a human is not able to resist with the strength of the Lord. So he put the temptation came by the enemy, and it was up to you if you're going to yield to it. The Bible says that the Lord will make a way of escape, and he made that way of escape for you. So, but sometimes we get so in our own will and own mind of what I want to do and what I like, and we forget all about asking God, is it okay? Should I? Could I? Would I? How do you feel, Daddy? You know, because he's the one that's taking care of us in the end when these men use you up and go to the next girl down the street, okay? So you got to get to a point where you say, for God I live, for God I die. And you got to trust solely in the Lord and not go off your senses. This is the way I had to learn to move with God. If I sense God's peace, I'm moving on it. If I don't sense his peace, I'm staying still. You know, a lot of times I ask people, well, what did the Lord say? He not saying nothing. Then you know what that means? You need to be still. He said, be still and know that I am God. You got to be still in your spirit, your flesh, your soul, your mind, and every fiber of your being. Because you're at a pivotal point in your life where things are coming to knock you off your holy hill. The enemy is not playing with you. So you keep the teeter-totter and say, well, I trust God over here with this tithe this week. But I don't trust him over here with the tithe this week. And I trust him over here with this beer. But I don't trust him with my man because I got to go see for myself. You know, you got to get out of yourself. Get out of your flesh and allow the Lord to infiltrate his spirit on the inside of you so you can rest, beloved. Because I sense that a lot of these questions come from an unrest place and a place of duress. And it should not be for the believer because he called us unto peace. He said, the peace that surpasses all understanding. Jesus said, my peace I leave unto you, not the peace of the world. But we keep getting ourselves entwined with the yoke of bondage again. We got to get untangled and stop thinking that you're missing something because you don't have a man. Or he won't date me because of the terms that I put down. good. When a man don't want to date or talk to me or see me no more because of the terms and the boundaries that I have set in place, guess what? That's God's protection over my life. I don't shun
that's
that.
Right.
I don't go have a pity party and say I'm not an ugly duckling or what's wrong with me. You got to understand God got everything ordained in his time. And I'm going to go back and tell you this again, beloved. If you get yourself busy and occupied with the things of the kingdom, you will not be so caught up with what's going on in the natural. If you get yourself occupied with the kingdom assignment, I'm not talking about that 9 to 5 that you go to Monday through Friday. I'm talking about the God-given talent that's embedded in your belly. If you cultivate that up and begin to work that and run in the vineyard, you won't have a lot of time to think about how can I do this to make him happy. See,
right.
We spend a lot of time trying to make people, well, what about God? Because that's what's going to matter in the end. That's all that's going to matter. So you got to get to
absolutely.
A place of trusting God with everything. I don't care what it looked
right.
like. I don't care what you faced. God, I'm your daughter. You promised to never
right.
leave me nor forsake. Take God at his word and stand on his word and stop teeter-tottering and wishy-washy with the word.
That's
amen.
Right. And the other thing, too, amen, and you just quoted Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. Verse 6 says this, in every way acknowledge him, he will and he shall direct your path. And so if you don't acknowledge him, you're not going to be directed. He can't direct you if you're not acknowledging him in all your ways. You got to do this, beloved. And I hear the woman of God and I hear the passion because she's single. So she's like, I got the passion of this. You got to understand this. If you don't trust God now for your future, you will not trust God later. If you do not trust God now for your future, you would not trust him later. So you have to build a relationship with him now. So when God do bring you your husband, when you stop going through the trials of life, if you don't trust him through the process of being single, you're not going to trust him when you get married. Trust me. I'm telling you. I'm married now, so I thank God that I trust him while I was single, and I trust my wife while I was single to him, because when me and my husband went through our trials and went through our tribulations, then that same trust, now it grew. Yes, it grew, because every year by year, month by month, you should be growing in the things of God. But as I grew in God, my trust in him was increasing. But do you understand, if I didn't trust him when I was single, I'm not going to trust him when I get married. Marriage does not change your relationship with God. It should grow it if you started when you're single. You got to have a true, authentic relationship with God while you're single. If you don't have it while you're single, you won't have it when you're married. Because any wind, any storm comes, it's going to blow you, and then you're going to be questioning God, why I married this man? Why was it him? That's the reason why that, you know, when I had this question, as the sister gave me the question, and she said, you know, Pastor Teresa, this is something that I really have a question about. I said, this will make a good topic. I said, because a lot of women dealing with this thing, and I understand you may say, Pastor Teresa, Evangelist Houston, you don't understand what I'm going through. Oh, yes, we do understand, and that is the reason why we can tell you what we tell you. And that's the reason why we can tell you our testimony, and we can actually share the word of God. If you don't have a strong, authentic relationship with God now, you're not going to have that when you're married. You're going to actually get upset. You're going to go through all these kind of different things, because marriage is work. It is work. You go through trials and tribulation while you're married, and if you don't trust him now, you're not going to trust him like you're supposed to later. I thank God for the trials and tribulation I went through while I was single, but I stood even when I wanted to fall. I'm talking about after I got delivered, because before that, I'm not even counting that. I'm talking about after I got delivered, I trusted God. I said, God, I want to do it your way this time. And when I did that, and yes, it was hard, and yes, I felt alone by myself, even with my children, and yes, I wanted someone to comfort me and be there for me, and I would walk in stores and see couples, and I wanted what they had. But I also, because I've been married before, I also knew that was work. Because what I see, that don't mean it just grew like that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I didn't have this false concept of what marriage about. So that kind of sustained me too. And by being in different bad relationships, I realized I didn't want to go into another relationship broken. I didn't want to go into mm-hmm. another relationship with all the baggage. So I prayed to God. I said, mm-hmm. God, I want to be whole when my husband comes. I want to be complete when he comes. I want to be in my right mm-hmm. mind when he comes. I don't want to go in a marriage with all that hurt and frustration mm-hmm. from past mm-hmm. relationships. And some of you ladies out there, you're not ready for a relationship right now. Mm. You're not ready to be married. Jesus. You can't even, you don't have the patience with your children versus a man.
My God.
Some of you don't have
mercy.
The patience with people on your job, and you want to share space with someone,
mm-hmm.
same space with someone, washing their clothes, doing this, doing that. He asking you where you going, how you spend the money, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
You ready
mm-hmm.
for that?
Mhm. Mhm.
Because that's
housekeeping.
Work.
Mm-hmm.
Housekeeping mm-hmm. and all the other kind of stuff. So my next question right here, Evangelist.
Mhm. Mhm.
I just wanted to fall out when I saw that in question. If he don't, if mm-hmm. we don't live together first, how do I ensure he's the right one?
Wow.
I'm not sure this is the right one. If we don't live together, because apparently this person, they feel like, well, if I don't live together, how am I going to ensure that he's the right one?
My God. All the signs will be there because let me help you. First of all, you need to stay in prayer before God because all this dating and dating, let me help you, single women. You don't need to date a person 5 and 10 times. I can pretty much date someone 1 or 2 times and tell if he for me or not. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Is he
mm-hmm.
supposed to be a part of my life? Is he supposed
mm-hmm.
to be in my inner circle? Do I'm supposed to be attached to him? Because when you constantly in the face of God and before the throne of God, the Holy Spirit will whisper to you. Good testimony.
Yeah.
Good question. Very good question. Let me tell you this. When I got married in 2000, I wasn't supposed to marry somebody that I married anyway out of my lust of my flesh. And I think whoever wants this question, you already know whether this man is right for you or not. Even without going with the living, you could date from a distance. I didn't check with my ex-husband. But I heard the Holy Ghost whisper to me. I heard it, and I heard it more than once, but I ignored it. I turned a deaf
mm-hmm.
ear to it, and I wanted to do what I wanted to do with my flesh, my body,
mm-hmm.
my life, because I'm getting older, and everybody else seems like they dealing and winning with their man, and I wanted me a man too. Where is it at right now today? Falling apart. Because it was someone that was not ordained for my life. It was someone that I had told me. And as I began to build my relationship closer with God, I had to go back and repent. And I cried like a baby. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, you said in your word, and marriage is honorable unto you, and the bed is undefiled. I need you to bless this marriage. And it seemed like the more the Lord tried to bless it, the more it grew with violence and discord and just everything that was ungodly. And so when I went to seek the Lord about getting out of the marriage, he gonna be trying to use scripture out of 1 Kings with David and Ziklag when he asked, could he go pursue the Philistines for taking their stuff? I asked the Lord, shall I pursue? The Lord, you know what he reminded me? He said, I didn't tell you to marry him, no way. I said, uh-oh. I'm not picking up.
You're so funny.
You don't go through a whole lot of rumble and discomfort and kids are involved. And, you know, half of this is because somebody's wanting somebody to just lay next to their sex. And it's far deeper than that, beloved. It's far deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
You already have seen some attributes that you don't like about this man. okay, mm-hmm. from dating. And you're trying to see, ooh, I don't know if I want to put up with that. Whether it's baby mama, daddy mama, whatever the situation may be, whether it's mismanaging the money, whether it's him not really loving on God like you're loving on God, look at your conversation with him. Is it more wholesome about the things of God, or is it the things of the world trying to get involved with the next concert that's coming along? So you kind of already have an answer right there before you. I'm a true witness to believe that you do. You've seen some things. There were some conversations or something heated that you didn't like, the way he communicates, the way he handled the situation, the way he talked to you. So don't set yourself up for failure, and you know that it's not already going to be a prosperous situation there when it's already a failing relationship. So don't think that you need for us to stroke you on that, because you have that answer. You have it.
Right. Right. And the thing about it is, if the question is, if we don't live together first, how would I be ensured he's the right one? Living together does not ensure that he's the right one, but it's definitely a strong indicator that you don't trust God.
Amen.
It definitely is a strong indicator that you don't trust God. Living together does not ensure that he's the right one or he's the wrong one, but it does ensure, and it's an indicator that you don't trust God. Because when you trust God, there's some things that you won't do. There's some things that you just would not allow in your space. And I'm here, and I hear you, woman of God, and I got a couple of inboxes for the women that's on the line. And I hear what you're saying, and I got you. You're saying it sounds like it's so easy. Well, I'm not going to say it's easy. It's not easy. But what I'm saying is that it's harder for a sinner. It's easy for a Christian. Let me explain that to you, what I mean by that. If you're trying to, again, how are you measuring your life? What are you measuring your life with? If you're measuring your life with the world's principles, that will make it hard. But if you measure your life with the word of God, that's going to make it easier. Now, unfortunately, I understand what you're dealing with, because when you actually start tipping in, start having sex, and start building these relationships with people, and you had all these different relationships with different ones, and then now you're saved, and you're going to church, and you understand living is wrong, living in sin is wrong, living shackles is wrong, that kind of stuff. And then you meet somebody that can seem like they're a potential person, just like you, evangelist. I had that prayer. I said, Lord, I told God, I said, when I got delivered and I got saved and was delivered from all my issues that I had at the time, I prayed to God. I said, God, when I made a commitment to him and I made a commitment to my children, and I told, because they're so used to me going in and out of, you know, with their dad and stuff like that, because both of my kids have two different dads, and I would go in and out of relationship with them. They see me go through so much, and I put them through a lot. So the fears that they had, I put that there because of my issues. So I said that to say this. When I got to the place where I wanted to live according to God, not according to my flesh, not according to what I want, not leaning to my understanding, but leaning onto his, it was a struggle at first, because I still wanted to do some of the things I wanted to do. But when I did make that final commitment, I said, God, I said, the first person I date, the person that asks me, the person that I ain't talking about other crazy people, because I had crazy people coming to me, asking me. But I knew when I looked at them, I said, it's something. Just with intent to go off. Just like you said, if you're seeking the face of God, you will know. I promise you, beloved, you will know. God don't keep not one good thing from you. He will not hear nothing from you. If you don't know, because he don't want you to know, that it may be in him. You keep seeking him for the same person. And this is another thing I experienced. I experienced ministering to women. They're forcing a person on God. They're forcing this person on God. God didn't say that's him, but you're going to force him. You're going to just say, oh, no, he the one, because that's who you want. But that's not who God wants you to have. But so because of somebody you want, you're going to force this relationship. You're going to force this relationship down. It's almost like you're forcing this relationship down God's throat and say he got to be the one, because he treats you right. He do this, and my kids love him. Yes. And this, all the kinds of stuff. Yes. He got all the but there's something on the inside of you is telling you no, but yet you're forcing it. So That was my statement. I want to say it towards that. Living together. Try it. We won't even allow that space. And the other thing I want to say to you, beloved, too, I just really want to encourage my sisters. Don't lower your standards. Don't lower who you are. We talk about there's not a good lot of men out there and this does another and all this. I said, but you help. We as women are helping men to be who they are. When we lower who we are, when we accept them, we accept their behavior and accept them what they do to us. They can live with us. They can sleep with me and leave me. Mm-hmm. Don't call me for 2-3 weeks and then call me when he wants to and then leave me and come back and sleep with me again. And then you talking about, well, maybe this is gonna be the right time. He already did you like that for 3 months straight. I don't know what makes you think he's not gonna continue doing that as long as you allow him to. We gotta stop lowering our standards because to forsake a relationship. You gotta stop lowering your standards to forsake a relationship just because it just ain't gonna work. And baby, I'm telling you, and I'm going to say this to you: when you have to do all of that to get somebody, when you're, I need you to hear me because I have ministered and counseled so many women that make this statement to me. When you lower your standards to get them, when you ain't confident in it. Because you know what you had to do to get them there. And I promise you, I heard this statement for so. And I'm like, why are you so insecure in your relationship? Because that person, and at the end of the day, when I get down to what the reasons are, it always the same. Because you don't know how I got them. I did this. I don't do that. I accept this. I don't want to accept that now. Oh, so you had to lower your standards to get them. So now you're married. And you don't want to do that no more or do this, that, another. Now you're not confident. Because in the back of your head, you feeling if he really known, if you didn't do this, if you would have stand on your grounds, you knew he wasn't going to marry you. Don't put yourself in that place. That is a very miserable place. And I'm telling you, when I tell you, I minister and I counsel to women, that and it's some different things I can't even tell them because I'm like looking at them like, wow, that's deep. So, but now you're in a covenant relationship. And he's over there like, oh, he okay. Do it now. Do you tell him now? Oh, I really only did those things just to get you to marry me? So where do you go from there? Beloved, don't lower your standards. Don't lower your standards. Our last question, which is a very interesting question, and I want to spend some time on this because this is a very important piece right here. It says, there are children involved, and we plan to get married. Is it wrong to live together for the best interest of our children? Is it wrong? Is it wrong for us to live together for the best interest of our children?
It is.
I want to start it off, Evangelist. It is something wrong. First and foremost, that you know you are already unfortunate, sin, and you have children. And I say this a lot of times: just because you sin, that don't mean you got to keep sinning.
Thank you.
I hope you caught that. Just because you fail, you don't have to keep falling. You don't have to keep falling because you failed one time, two times, or whatever. The enemy has a way of tricking the believer. Let me share something with you, beloved. Beloved, when I tell you the enemy has been dealing with human beings from the beginning, he knows how to work us. He knows how to manipulate us. Look what he did with Eve. He knows how to use the word, to twist the word around, pervert the word, to make it sound really good so we can buy into this concept. He knows what to do. And the only thing he's doing is tricking you into thinking. I just shared this with some young people today. I said, let me share something with you, babies. I said, don't ever put yourself in a situation to believe that having children will keep a man.
Ooh,
don't put yourself in that place. And the sad thing about it, we're bringing children in this world. A lot of women and a lot of girls are doing this, bringing children in the world trying to get pregnant for a man. And then turn around, and it's no doubt, and the man don't marry you. That's not just on the man's fault. That's 50% of your fault as well.
Exactly.
So when you're talking about, you know, doing stuff for the best interest child, what makes you think that's the best interest of the children? The best interest of the children is that you train them up in the way of the Lord. And you being a good example to these children, yes, I made a mistake, but I'm not going to keep making them. So you can't give a child, you can't tell, I need you to catch this, you can't tell children to follow the rules when you don't follow them yourself.
Amen. Lead by example. Amen. Amen. Pastor Teresa, I can't hear you. I hope you all are able to hear me. Amen. I hope you all are able to hear. And I just want to kind of piggyback on Pastor Teresa with telling the children to follow certain rules and guidelines. And if you're not following those rules and guidelines that God has set before you, then you cannot expect the children to follow you. You got to lead by example in your household. Sometimes our children are acting out of order because we're out of order. We're not in order with God. God tells us to quit it, stop it, put it down, shut it down, and we continue to do whatever we want to do, not allowing the Spirit of the Lord to govern our lives. So you can't expect for the children to do the same thing. And when you're a child of the kingdom, you're not following the same rules. You're not following the kingdom principles and guidelines that the Lord has set before you in order for you to do. So what you got to do in this scenario, it is not good for the children to see this, because what you're doing is sowing this type of seed. And I think this may have come from different generations on why some people are still cohabitating together, because again, they saw their mama, they saw their auntie, they saw their grandma. So it's like a generational curse that keeps going on. And it's not befitting in neither season of the life. We're setting wrong examples. We're setting wrong principles and guidelines. The word tells us to train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they grow old, they shall not depart from it. This is not the leading and the training of the Lord for them to be led in a household where two people are not married. You know,
absolutely.
That child needs a mother and a father. He or she does not just need my mama boyfriend. You know, and then they see all this other activity going on, so you're not setting a good role model for them when they grow older, and then they'll think it's okay for me to do that when they get up age 18 and 19 years old. Go ahead, Pastor.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And the sad thing about it is we're messing these children up. And you know what? The other part is we are helping the world develop their concept of what marriage is. We're helping the world. I need you to catch that. We're helping the world, for them to develop the concept of what the world says what marriage is, and not what God says. So let me tell you something. We made some mistakes. I made them. Lord knows, neither one of my children was married after was born after marriage. Every last both. when I was 21 years old and I wasn't married at all. I got married to my second child's father after marriage, and I shouldn't have got married, and I had the same experience, and we haven't talked about that. I had that same experience as Evangelist Houston, that I got married to someone that God told me not to marry. But because mm-hmm. I was operating in fear and because I was mm-hmm. operating in obligation, I got married anyway. And with all that, I'm not going to that testimony again. However, mm-hmm. I promise you, if we just be who God created us to be, and we ask God to forgive us for all of our past sins, and he's forgiven us, why go keep going on and adding them to your record? Why? And then now Amen. We got kids involved. Now we got children involved, mm-hmm. and they don't understand that. And now mm-hmm. they got to explain. Now you got to sit down and explain, oh, well, Uncle Bobby, I hear young women, it's so funny, I hear women actually call their boyfriend Uncle. Well, tell Uncle Joe, tell Uncle Bobby, tell me mm-hmm. this and tell. I'm like, okay, so how many uncles are you going to tell your child you have?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. Ladies, we got to get smarter. We are responsible for our children. Mm-hmm. If I can go back and redo some things with my children, I would, but I can't. But what I am mm-hmm. doing is helping you. What I am doing is taking you through the Word of God, and then taking you through our experiences, and telling you don't make the same mistakes, because at the end of the day, it hurts these children. These children grow up bitter. These children grow up mad and angry, and they're not going to tell you that. They're not going to tell you how disappointed they are. They're not going to tell you how angry, but they're going to sit before a person like me and sit and tell me all what they know, all what they feel, and I'm telling you, I don't mm-hmm. minister so many children from 15, 17 years ago, all up to now, and they sit and tell me how they really, truly feel about their mama and their daddy, and you'll be amazed what our children feel about us because of the mistakes that we made and because we keep making the same mistakes, and they keep seeing us. They don't look at marriage as a wonderful thing. They look at marriage as a horrible thing because we put so much stuff before them, and they are confused. Mm-hmm. They're not looking at, you know, being pregnant, being excited, married, and then get pregnant. They're like, okay, why you have a baby now? They don't understand, well, you know, you get married first, and then you get – I hear so many children – describe mm-hmm. how the line goes, and they so twist it because this is what they see. But, love it, we can change that. You can change. We can change these children's concept of how truly how families are developed. But it starts with somebody. It starts with a woman like you that's on this line, and you're seeking. You're on this line for a reason. You're not wasting an hour and 30 minutes just to hear men and evangelists talk. There's a reason why you're online. You want to be empowered. You want to change some stuff. Because if you're on this line, mm-hmm. that means you want to change something. If you're on this line, mm-hmm. you're looking for an answer to a question. Yeah, you may got some messed up thinking in your thought process. However, if mm-hmm. you're on this line, you're looking for some solutions. And I'm telling you, God is the solution, not your understanding, not based on your flesh. But God is the solution. The key thing is you're going to have to put the work in. So, yes, is something wrong? Mm-hmm. It is something wrong with that. You got to be an example. I sit my children down and I talk to them, and I tell them I was wrong. The way I did things was absolutely wrong. And I do not mm-hmm. want you to make that same mistake. I got to go through so many things because there's some things I'm still living out because of a decision I made.
Uh-huh.
And because I did mm-hmm. sleep with your daddy, and now I got to deal with him for the rest of my life, and you grow. You're grown, and I still, because that's still your father. So if you get hit by mm-hmm. a car, guess what? I'm going to be responsible to contact him.
Yes.
Because you laid out on a stretcher. You can't call him. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have to call your father. Mm-hmm. So this man is in my life for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
beloved, I'm telling you, you want to think things through. You don't want to keep making mistakes and putting mistakes on top of mistakes. Yeah, you people will, you know, life experience is the best teacher. But there's some things we don't have to experience. If we just listen mm-hmm. to the voice of God and you live by his word.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to say to you is that with all this right here, and I'm praying that you're just not entertaining mm-hmm. yourself, entertain yourself by just asking questions, which we want the question. I do want to share two testimonies that came through. I have a lot of them, but there's two of them that I really want to mention tonight. And for the ones that's on the air, I appreciate all the comments, all the questions, the support that you're giving. You're calling in, you're linking on Facebook, Twitter. I thank God for you because, you know, this is the reason why we're doing it. We're doing it for one, for what God has led us to do this, and then at the same time, because there's somebody's listening. Somebody, and sometimes, you know, we need to hear the encouragement that is helping somebody, that we need to know that somebody is getting answers. Somebody's life is changing from this airway that we're going to take some time. Yes. Because keep in mind, just as much time it took for you to listen, it took a portion out of these questions. You build a teachable spirit, that you always remain teachable. You want to not only because you want to remain teachable, because God is going to still forever be teaching you. Callers, I'm back. I do apologize. I don't know what's going on. I just know the enemy does not want this to have a clear view. But we want to go ahead and say what I want to go ahead and say this. Evangel, are you still there, honey?
I'm here. Yes.
Okay. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to have to call them and try to find out what's going on. But I want to say this, babe, before we get knocked off again, I want to say to you that, again, we want to make sure that you understand the purpose of, you know, you're being single in this season, and you take advantage of this time while you're being single and really maximize this opportunity to get some things together for yourself. You want to take this time and really ask God to really heal you from different places and different wounds and different experiences that you have had. Don't be so concentrated on getting someone. Don't be so concentrated of, you know, what's the next thing I need to do to get prepared to be married. What you want to do is really be prepared yourself, because I'm telling you, marriage is work. This is not peaches and cream. This is not a walk in the park. I say that all the time, but I thank God, for much as I love my husband, as much as he's my best friend, he's my push and all that, but this is work. And if you haven't dealt with some things within yourself, you'll get married and get married, and when the frustration comes, and when the disappointment comes, and when the trials and tribulations comes, you'll just walk out on this relationship too. You'll just walk out and give up on the relationship that is from God, because you did not do what you need to do while you were single. So take this time and really truly maximize the opportunity to really deal with some things in your life. Deal with the little girl syndrome. Deal with all the vulnerable places that's in you. Deal with the jealousy. Deal with the envy. Deal with the insecurities. Deal with the rejection. Deal with the abandonment. Deal with all of it. Deal with what your mama did and didn't do. Deal with your father dropped you. Deal with that stuff. So therefore, when that man does come, you will be prepared, and you won't be putting all that on him and expect him to be this hero when he got his own stuff too, that hopefully and prayfully that he don't took care of as well. But if you just look at life and say, God, I really want to be all what you created me to be, not what all I desire. Because, yes, God would give you the desire of his heart. But I don't want nothing that God don't want for me. I don't want to desire something he don't want for me. I want to desire exactly what he wants to have for my life. Because you know what? He knows what's best for me. He knows what's. He knows my beginning, and he knows my end, and he knows my between. So I'm always going before God and say, God, I want your help. I don't want to do this on my own. I don't want what I want. I want what you want for me. What do you want for me? What do you desire for my life to be? I do desire some things, but I'm always taking what I desire, and I'm taking it to God. God, this is what I desire. You let me know, because I don't have to have it now, because I don't learn my lesson. getting something that wasn't for me. So I pray that this episode has been a blessing to you. I pray the wisdom and the word of God and the experience and the testimonies that was shared is a blessing to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray that you take some of this stuff and you know what applies to you. You know what don't apply to you. But I pray that you take what's been given to you and really dissect it and really seek the heart of God and ask God, God, what is for me? And don't be stubborn in the spirit. Oh, I heard God say that. Don't be stubborn in the spirit, because not only are we stubborn in the physical, we can be stubborn in the spirit, and that's worse.
Mm-hmm.
Because when God is trying to speak to you, when God is trying to download something in your spirit, you're so stubborn and so heart closed until you want to receive what God is trying to say to you. And I'm telling you, you don't want to go through life going through a cycle, going through a cycle of the same events, saying the same thing, doing the same thing, and then at the end of the day, you have no results. And the results that you do have is results that you really didn't want. So, beloved, I pray that what we have said to you is really a blessing to you. I want to share this with you. I got two testimonies. I'm going to read one because we don't have much time. Evangelist, I want you to kind of go, before I read this testimony, I want you to go ahead and close out what in the comments that you want to say, and make sure you tell the hearers and the viewers about your ministry, about your prayer line. Go ahead and share that with them.
Amen. I want to encourage the women to get all together. Keep it all together with the help and the strength of the Lord, and that you don't have to deviate from the word of God to please anybody. Be who you are. Be comfortable in who you are, who God has created and designed you. I want to encourage you to love yourself like never before. Before you love anyone else, you've got to love yourself. Love your children. First and foremost, you got to love God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and spirit. But then love yourself and love your children, because sometimes we only get one chance, one shot to get it right. And you want to make and say, I done the best I could here. You don't want to look back and have regrets later on, because we're getting older. So with this, you know, age and with the help of the Lord, it should be the wisdom of God leading and guiding us and directing our footsteps. So there should be wisdom and spiritual maturity growing hand in hand together. So do not think that you got to fit in with the world. The word of God says, separate yourself, come out from amongst them. For what do darkness have to do with light? So you are the peculiar people. You are the royal priesthood. You are the holy nation. You're the one that he has called forth out of the darkness into his marvelous light. So I want to leave that with you, beloved, that you are loved of God. There's nothing you can do to make him change his mind about you. Also, I want to leave with you about my women's prayer line. It is Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 5:30 a.m. And the phone number is 559-726-1300. Again, it's 559-726-1300. The access code is 556-789. That's 556-789. And that is Morning Manna Intercessory Prayer with Women of Restoration. That is Monday mornings, Wednesday mornings, and Friday mornings at 5:30 a.m. Amen.
Amen.
Have a wonderful
and you
evening,
want
my
to,
sister.
And my sisters, you will want to take advantage of this prayer. If you're up there early, if you want to sacrifice some things, the Bible says some things come with prayer and fasting. And if you're seeking the face of God and you really need some directions in your life, it's nothing like getting with other sisters, getting with other believers, and just praying and bombarding heaven on a situation. And I promise you, you can't lose with the stuff that we use. That's all I gotta say. You can't lose. You will grow in God. You will mature in God. You'll find yourself to a higher level in God, and then anything that needs to fall off, it will fall off. Anything that needs to be separated will be separated. Anything that needs to be destroyed, it will be destroyed. You just got to know that you got to trust in God. I pray that, like I said earlier, I pray that what we shared with you today, and I do apologize for all the mess-ups. I don't know what was going on, and I just know the enemy just did not want some of this stuff to be said, but we thank God that we still was able to say it anyway. Amen. But I want to share this testimony with you before we go to our we didn't have no commercials. I'm going to share some things about the Inspiring magazine. But I want to share this testimony. This really touched my heart, and there's a lot of testimonies. I just want to share this one. This testimony came from one young lady named Lori. I'm not going to say her last name. She said, "Dear Pastor Teresa, my name is Lori. I have been listening to the Share Talk episode for singles for the past 3 months, and it has been truly a blessing to me. I have really been going through so much as a single woman. I have 3 kids, and I have made so many mistakes. I have 3 children and 3 baby daddies. I have gone through many things with each one of them. I listened to you and Evangelist, you spell your name wrong, Evangelist Houston, listened to the wisdom, the knowledge, and understanding that you share throughout the line, and has been a blessing to me. I wanted to share with you that since I've been listening to the show, I found myself growing in the things of God. I found myself growing in trusting God for my life. I never thought that I would see myself having peace of being single. I finally arrived. I have peace being single. I thought that was wow. She shared some other personal things with me, but that is awesome. I really did something to my heart to hear a testimony saying that they found peace finally of being single.
Yes.
She said, "I'm good with it now. I'm good with it." So I pray that was a blessing to you. And if you have a testimony, if you want to share, you can always leave a comment. You're always going to connect with me on Facebook, Teresa Burton or TeresaBurtonMinistry.com. TeresaBurtonMinistry.com, that's my website, and Teresa Burton Ministry on Facebook, or Teresa Burton. You can just link up with me, and I would love to hear information and encouragement, or even you have questions that you would like to share. I do want to let you know there has been a change. I will be still having the 60-minute of empowerment show, but the last 30 minutes, it's actually 90 minutes, but the last 30 minutes, what I'm going to try to do is to impact that with the questions that have been asked, because a lot of by the time we get into the show, we get so good and get wrapped up and tied up in that, and so I never get to the questions that has been inboxed to me. So I still have a slew of questions that's been inboxed to me, and I really want to get through them, and we're going to try to get through them. Amen. Again, beloved, I really truly believe that we share some powerful things tonight. I truly believe that if your heart was open, your ears was open, your spirit was open, you received something on tonight. And I just truly believe that the power of God is going to rest on your heart, and you're going to see your life better. You're going to see your life much, much better. And as this share talk is to help you understand that the hardship of life don't have to leave you bitter, but better as we share, talk, and grow. Let us pray for you. Father, we thank you right now for every listener. We thank you for every person that was logged on tonight. I ask you right now, cover them with your blood, your sanctified blood, your blood that makes us clean, your blood that you shed on Calvary, God. We thank you right now, and we don't take advantage of your blood. We don't take advantage of what you did on Calvary for us, God. But God, I ask you right now, cover every sister, cover every woman that was on this line tonight. And I ask you right now, God, allow them to see themselves the way you see them, beautiful, fearfully, wonderfully made. And we ask you right now to cover them, God, as they seek a relationship with you even the more, as they increase in their faith with you even the more. I pray right now, God, even the desire for their hearts, God, as they get in line with you and faithful to you, you will give them the desires of their heart, God. I pray if anybody that's in this position that they may be living together with their boyfriend, I pray that they have faith in you and do what they need to do to end it and trust you for everything for their life, God. And then if it's for them, God, you will give them the sign. You will give them the confidence and the confirmation that they need, God. I pray right now, God, even the children that's attached to these relationships, God, I pray right now, God, that we can be better example to our children. that they would know you even better. They'll know that you're real based on the life that we live. And then when they get old enough to experience you for themselves, God, they're going to know, and they will seek your face, God. We bless your holy name on today, God, for the ones that was on the line, God, and for the ones that was not able to link in, God. I thank you right now, Evangelist Houston, God, for her ministry. Bless her for her testimony and her time that she stand with me with your talk, God. We bless your holy name, what you have done, and we ask you right now just to cover us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Stay tuned for the commercial.
Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Teresa, and I personally would like to invite you to experience the Inspire Magazine. Inspire Magazine is a magazine that's offering women and girls information and articles about issues that we face every day, from marriages and singles, parenting, relationships, spirituality, education, depression, health, finances, fitness, career, and yes, beauty. Each issue will feature stories and testimonies of women that live right here in the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. You do not want to miss out on this. You want to have this magazine amongst your other reading material. You won't regret it, but you will be empowered, motivated, and most of all, inspired to inspire someone else. Visit me today on the website, TeresaBurtonMinistry.com, and purchase your copy. Hope to see you. You have been in tune to Share Talk with your host, Pastor Teresa, brought to you by the way of Teresa Burton Ministry. Every Monday at 6:30 p.m. right here on Share Talk, you can meet Pastor Teresa for a live empowerment session that guarantees to challenge you, encourage you, and inspire you to be all what God has you to be. We would also like to invite you to visit her on her website at TeresaBurtonMinistry.com. Tune in next Monday for another empowerment session by call 347-580-8820 or by using the link that's provided. Until next Monday, remember, the hardship of life don't have to make you bitter, but better as we share, talk, and grow.